we see there's a huge gulf between, say, devotees and non-devotees. And will, in the foreseeable future, some changes, maybe astrological changes or, say, building of the TOVP, will that decrease the gulf or will it increase the number of non-devotees becoming devotees? Can we say that in the foreseeable future there's going to be a big change?
Yes.
That's the question, is it? Okay. There are two different things over here. One is that what we as individuals can do. The other is that what are the big changes that are going to happen. Going back to the boating metaphor. In the boat, the person can keep rowing. Sometimes the wind might be in the same direction and the boat can just zoom forward. Sometimes the wind might be in the opposite direction and the boat will be almost blocked. But boat, despite the best effort, the boat might move in the opposite direction. So all that is in the hands of the rower is to keep rowing. But it's not just to keep rowing, but also to try to sense which direction is the wind flowing where. And then for those who are rowers, catching the right wind is also very important. If they catch the right wind, their efforts get augmented. So similarly for all of us, when we are trying to ourselves practice bhakti and share bhakti, and we see the difference between the devotional way of living and between the devotees and non-devotees, what we can do at our level is keep trying to share. Keep trying to share bhakti, keep trying to practice and share it with others. And beyond that, there are within bhakti, different people can have different sources of inspiration. Some devotees may feel that if we just build this temple, then the outreach can expand enormously. Some devotees may say that, if we just distribute more books, then people will become. Some devotees may say, we need to customize. Instead of building one big temple, we need many small centers. And many people will come locally at the small centers. So now, is it that within the practice of the bhakti, there can be many definitions of success? So ultimately, it's sharing Krishna with others. But what are the ways in which we share Krishna? That can vary. Some devotees may feel that, if you just build your homes and temples according to Vastu, which consult more astrology, and then you do things, then auspiciousness will come. Different people will have different ideas. And there is that room for individuality and diversity within spirituality. Now, it can well be that at certain times, certain definitions of success may become much more prominent than others. So different devotees will strive in different ways, and if something becomes more effective than others, then more people will start doing that. Say, if we look at the history of our movement, when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, at that time, he had not particularly studied American socio-cultural history or anything like that. He just came at a particular time, and he tried to reach out to whoever he could. But by circumstance, gradually he came to the counterculture. And they were the most receptive for him. And that's how he took it up. So he looked at the context and he saw these are the people who are the most receptive. And his movement focused on the counterculture. But when he came to India, it was not that there was no counterculture. Nobody was wanting to leave their homes. And the counterculture means people had already left everything. So Prabhupada says in a lecture that people at that time, he says to the American disciples, the hippies, they had already done Sarva Dharman Parityaj. I taught them Mam Ekam Sharanam Braj. So they had already given up their duty to their family, to their even their career, their education, their society, even their hygiene, everything. But Krishna Prabhupada taught them. So Prabhupada, you could say that wind of the counterculture, Prabhupada caught that wind. And then he took everyone along. He took people along. Many people joined over there. But then when he went to India, there was no counterculture. So Prabhupada, at that time, there was the wind of you could say nationalism, cultural nationalism. Cultural nationalism is the idea that, oh, we Indians have been ruled by foreigners for so long. But now those foreigners are taking up our culture. How great our culture is. How great our nation is. So most of the people who came to Srila Prabhupada in the 1970s, none of them were really interested in becoming committed followers. So Prabhupada recognized that that cultural nationalism, that's what, oh, our culture and our nation is so great that these foreigners are taking it up. So they wanted some visible manifestations of the greatness of that of our culture and our nation. So Prabhupada channeled that, and Prabhupada started the life membership program for getting people to support building big temples. So the idea is that, okay, this is the wind that is there. How do you channel that? So they were not ready to become, say, committed sadhakas. So then Prabhupada accommodated them. Now if you see today, most of our movement is neither the counterculture nor, say, life patterns. See, today the culture, today the whole need is that society is becoming more fragmented. People are more mentally disturbed and there's loneliness. So most people come to spirituality for a sense of community and belonging. Most people who come to spirituality are not missionaries out to change the world. Most people who come to Krishna consciousness, not that we there is some amount of cultural nationalism within people, but that's not the primary motive. So then our movement is adopting that. So we are focusing more and more on expanding the community, having community support, community care. A temple becomes more a center for community to congregate and to connect. So then whatever is the wind that is moving, we need to catch that wind. So we could say in the 60s, it was the counterculture wind in America. In the 70s, it was the cultural nationalism wind that Prabhupada caught in India. From the 80s onwards, it was more mostly Indians are coming. And it's more of the, you could say, the spirituality as community kind of wind that is being caught. But now, if you see, there are different winds that are coming also. That is, one is the yoga is very big. So there are some devotees who are catching the yoga wind. And so people come to practice yoga and then they get bhakti yoga. There is the environmentalism wind, which is also there. So green environmental consciousness is there. Some devotees are going into, we can have eco-friendly communities. That's a wind that some people are catching. There is also a wind of mindfulness. That we want to process our emotions better, become more aware. Now most people today, if you tell them you are not the body, they're not interested. It's too abstract and philosophical for them. But if you tell them you are not your mind, oh really? Explain to me. How? So, you use mindfulness to share spirituality. And another, I think there are four broad things. There is trends, winds which are flowing, you could say. There's yoga, there's environmentalism, there's mindfulness, and there is veganism. So in India, people still think vegetarianism is old-fashioned. To become modern means to become non-veg. But in the West, to become vegan is cool. So what is happening? Some devotees are using vegetarian cooking. Vegetarian cooking kind of classes, vegan cooking, and they are getting people to Krishna. So we have to see which wind is there and we try to catch that wind. Okay? So, thank you very much.